Hey folks, my name is Jason Spies and I travel across these great states talking to small business owners, CEOs, policymakers, musicians, and mentors about making money, giving back, and balancing life. I find out how they prioritize professional and personal time while still making money. Yes, indeed, our guests are real heavyweights in understanding business and life. So get ready to relax, learn a little bit, and get a cup of coffee ready because my name is Jason Spies and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio.
Sitting on a million, sitting on it every day. Can't make no money giving your stuff away. Why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
On today's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio, we talk with Dr. Bob Nielsen from Nielsen Counseling about retirement and then transitioning into your little small-time hobby business. 73-year-old Dr. Bob Nielsen joins us in just a moment. Also, Kenan Bullinger, director for the Medical Cannabis Division with the North Dakota Health Department, gives us an update on how many growers expected this next year, when they can anticipate the first medicine to be out with North Dakota's new medical cannabis industry that is happening right before our very eyes. Plus, Dan South with Dome Technologies. We travel to East Idaho Falls, Idaho, and talk with Dan South about how these big, giant concrete domes that you see are constructed and who their market is. All that plus much more on today's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard right here on the Crude Life Media Network.
Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on. You can make a million too.
Let me take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Now with Hatch Coaching, you'll experience extreme transparency. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. By choosing Hatch Coaching, you're going to gain the knowledge and tools that will take your business to that next level. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Make sure you call and reserve Eric Hatch today. 701-318-4246. That's 701-318-4946. Or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch. It's time for your company to create wealth and abundance too. Reserve Eric Hatch today. Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Dr. Bob Nielsen with Dr. Bob Nielsen's Counseling.
What I see, I don't need nobody to tell me if I'm safe swimming out to sea.
You're at NDSU for how long?
42 years.
42 years, and my understanding is the program, or you, or both, won awards through those 42 years?
Well, the program was accredited by KCREP, which is the National Accreditation for Counselor Education Programs. And the last time we had the accreditation team come in, they were going through our program with the fine-tooth comb for 3 days. There were three people from the KCREP organization doing that. And when they completed, we had met all of the standards necessary, and they indicated that a really good counselor education program usually missed about 8 to 10, maybe 12 of those standards, and we didn't miss any. They actually indicated that we have probably one of the very best small counselor education programs in the United States. So I was very proud of that as the coordinator of that program.
And obviously that did wonders for NDSU and their image in the program, right?
Well, it's one of those small programs at NDSU that is really exceptional. And a lot of people don't even know about many of those small programs that are, such as polymer encoding, for instance, one of the best in the world. And a lot of people don't know that.
At NDSU?
Yes.
Polymer encoding?
Yeah.
All right. Now, I also heard you were recognized in certain small towns USA because of your hockey experience? What's that? Now, talk to me about your hockey background.
Well, I grew up in Cloquet, Minnesota, and I played hockey and football there. I went to Concordia College for my bachelor's degree, and I played football and hockey there also. I was part of the national championship football team in 1964, so you can tell my age. And I was a captain and player coach, actually, for the hockey team at Concordia. At Indy, I started the program, the high school hockey program in Botno, North Dakota, and there were only eight teams at the time, so they had eight teams in the state tournament, so we were one of the eight teams in the state tournament.
You got in by default, huh?
We did. That's absolutely true. And then at NDSU, we started a club team, and Dave Morinville was instrumental as a coach, and I was the faculty advisor. And in the first 8 years that I was faculty advisor, we did win seven national championships.
At NDSU?
Yeah.
So NDSU has seven national championships in club hockey. Not hockey, club hockey.
Right.
That's funny. I guess we'll end the interview on how big was the Northern you caught the other night?
Oh, I live on Lake Lyda out of Pelican Rapids, Minnesota, and I was out buzz baiting for bass, which means I'm pulling a lure across the surface of the water that's kind of buzzing along and looking for some largemouth or smallmouth bass, and I get a pretty good hit close to the boat, a really big splash, and takes off on me, and a few, 15 minutes later, I finally land a northern. That is the biggest one I've caught since I've lived in the lake. Lived on the lake. It was almost 20 pounds, and that's not as big as the one I have on the wall, but I got that up in the boundary waters of Minnesota, Canada, and that's almost twice as big as that. But
20 pounds, and that was from the biggest one you caught on your lake?
That's the biggest one I caught on this lake, yeah.
Okay.
And it was just
how many inches?
This week, 40.
40 inches, 20 pounds.
Almost 20, yeah.
And you were just trying to catch a smallmouth or largemouth bass to pass the time.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. You did also. The balance. We have to have things that are fun. Freedom, fun, belonging, you know, they're all very important to us. And you got to have fun things to do in your life to get that time to disengage from the other things and engage in things that you can really focus on and concentrate on. When you're throwing a bass lure, you got to be concentrating on, you know, where you're going to hit and how to pull it in. And once you get a fish on the line, you know, you're not thinking about, for me, I'm not thinking about my clients. You know, I'm thinking about what to do in order to get them in the net. That's the way that goes.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. It's been fun.
To listen to the full-length interview with Dr. Bob Nielsen or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism is part of the Crude Life Media Network, and we're asking you to join our Facebook family. Follow us today. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. All that information plus interviews like with Dr. Bob Nielsen can be found at TheCrudeLife.com. That's our main website, CrudeLife.com. That's TheCrudeLife.com. My name is Jason Spies. This is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard right here on the Crude Life Media Network. The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet. the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, North Dakota Director of the Medical Cannabis Division for their Health Department, Kenan Bullinger.
Kenan Bullinger, I'm the Division Director for the Medical Marijuana Division in the North Dakota Department of Health.
And of course, that is a relatively new department in the state of North Dakota. And just a quick summary, if you will, we won't get into the politics of how we got to where we're at today, but talk about just the origin of your particular department in terms of how it came about and how many different employees you now have.
Well, this new division came about because of initiated measure number 5 that was on the November 2016 ballot, and that dealt with the state initiating a medical marijuana program, and that successfully passed in November, around 63% favorable vote. And the way that measure was written, it was the North Dakota Department of Health that would be implementing that new law as passed by the voters. So, because there was a lot of information in that initiated measure that was kind of conflicting and not clearly defined, there was a bill draft prepared for the 2017 legislature to kind of clear up some of those conflicting information, but also to make the law a little bit more fiscally responsible, I guess. And the legislators did pass a bill early on in the session to delay implementation of that initiated measure so that we could make some needed fixes to that initiated measure as passed by the voters. So we think we have a very workable bill. I think it was a workable bill. It passed. There was a lot of testimony in committee, both House and Senate Human Services Committee, from some of the people that actually put the measure on the ballot. So we found out they were fairly happy with the end result as passed, and that was Senate Bill 2344. Since that time, we've been working to the provisions for getting this division going carried an emergency measure, so the appropriation for this division went into effect or was available to us as soon as the governor signed the bill in the third week in April. So that started the process of trying to get some additional staff hired to help implement this law. So we advertised soon after that in late April and early May, had some great response, a lot of applicants, and through the interview process, we were able to hire 2 people in early June. They've been a great addition to the staff here to start our next big work, and that was to develop and propose administrative rules or regulations to further define and clarify the law as it was passed by the legislators, signed by the governor. There was a number of references, numerous, 16 or more references in the law that gave us the authority to more clearly define some of the provisions in that law. So that's what we did most of June. The staff and our administration developing a set of regulations. They're still in proposed and draft form. Those haven't been released for comment yet. We just are working on those went over to the Attorney General's office for legal review, and we just got some comments late last week on some potential changes after the Attorney General's legal review. We're going to try to clean those up and get it in final draft form and open it up for comment, hopefully within the next few weeks. So that's kind of where we're at.
Is it fair to say that, you know, we're past that 90% point of ironing out? I mean, if it sounds like you guys are just getting some definitions and some wrinkles, we're getting to the next phases now, to where we're going to start giving out permits for growers and dispensaries. Am I kind of following this a little bit here?
Yeah, you got it exactly right. We want to make sure these draft administrative rules or proposed rules are available for potential growers and manufacturers and the dispensary operators, so they know what they will need to do to submit their application to our department for review by a review team, so we can select the best growers possible from those applications and how they're going to meet the law and the proposed regulations, and then we'll go from there. And then, you know, this all takes time. I know a lot of people in the public and even some patients with some medical conditions where they're anxious to be able to get their medical marijuana. Once they understand the process we're going through, they realize this is going to take time. We've got to get these regulations in the right form, and we want to give the applicants for the growers and manufacturers and dispensary operators or retail facilities adequate time to get their applications to us so they're complete, and we can review those and score them and rank them and select the best possible people that will have, in the end, the best possible medical marijuana that's safe for those patients and designated caregivers to buy in the future. And that's all going to take time.
Kenan Bullinger, North Dakota Department of Health, on the line with us talking about medical cannabis. It's now legal in North Dakota. They're ironing out just a few of the regulations, policies, that sort of thing within the Department of Health. The main hurdles are gone. If you can, and I'm not going to hold you to this because we're going to talk rough timelines here, and these can change. You're dealing in a very dynamic thing because the feds can come in and influence things. The locals can still influence some things. The state, for crying out loud, can still influence things. So we're in a very dynamic situation here when you're talking about cannabis in general. But from the permit process to when you see the seed maybe getting in the ground to maybe when the first harvest is going to be, do you guys have some rough timelines when it comes to these things yet?
Well, and you're right, Jason, it's very dynamic. We had some pretty aggressive timelines we established early on for ourselves so that we could really work hard and try to get product into the hands of patients as soon as possible. But this has taken a little bit longer. This is all brand new for all of us. We learn something new every day about cannabis and medical cannabis. But the administrative rule process, we want to get right, and that's why it's taken a little bit longer than we originally thought to get these rules drafted and fine-tuned. We had hoped to get the request for applications out to the growers and dispensary operators in the early part of August, and that's just not happening. So dynamically, things change. Everything's been pushed back a little bit, but we're still hopeful. Early on, we thought after the governor signed the bill, it would take us 12 to 18 months to get medical marijuana into the hands of patients for their use. Maybe pushing towards the end of that now at 18 months, but we're still hopeful. We have product available for purchase in the dispensaries maybe next summer, late next summer, because it's going to take those growers and manufacturers, once selected, a good bit of time to construct their grow facilities. There's no outside growing with this. It's all got to be inside, heavily secured and alarmed systems. So it'll take them a while to construct their facilities. Nobody's constructing now because that would be too much of a risk until these growers and manufacturers are the ones selected, then they'll start that process.
We're going to pause for just a moment with our interview with Kenan Bullinger, Director for the Medicinal Cannabis Department for the North Dakota Department of Health. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
To peace, and you're addicted to war. Trying to figure out what side I'm on and what I'm fighting for.
Forgot Eddie's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any coffee and capitalism questions for myself or any of our experts, feel free to email me at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. Like us on Facebook today. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Let me take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Now, with Hatch Coaching, you'll experience extreme transparency. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. By choosing Hatch Coaching, you're going to gain the knowledge and tools that will take your business to that next level. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Make sure you call and reserve Eric Hatch today, 701-318-4000. That's 701-318-4946. Or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch. It's time for your company to create wealth and abundance too. Reserve Eric Hatch today.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
When it's time to put the booze down, find us some solid ground, clean this damn life up, and turn it all around.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host. We continue our interview with Kenan Bullinger, Division Director for the North Dakota Department of Health's Medical Cannabis Division.
It's the truth. Back to the ways of John and
June. And just quickly, what are some of those numbers again? The number of growers, the number of dispensaries, just kind of some loose numbers on that. I remember hearing that you guys got like 90 permits or a whole bunch of permits. I was traveling out of town, and so I kind of loosely caught it. But talk about the permit process and what those definitive numbers are too.
Sure. Well, we weren't sure how many applications we were going to get, so we sent out a letter of intent a number of weeks ago to try to get a gauge on how many applications we will see for the growers and the dispensaries. And we did get 97 originally. There's been a few that have come in after that we're going to allow to apply. There's nothing in statute that limits when those applications, people show their intent to apply. So it's well over 100, not well over 100, probably about 105 letters of intent so far. By law, they've limited, the legislature wanted to limit the number of growers to start with to 2, and the number of dispensaries will be 8. We do have the authority in law to add more. If the demand for product is high, we can add another grower, manufacturer. We're just not sure on the number of patients that are going to register. Early on, we think those numbers will be low, but that'll continue to grow. And as those continue to grow, we can add some additional growers. The dispensary side of things, we hope those 8 dispensaries will be located strategically in every part of the state in some way, different regions of the state, so that patients and caregivers don't have to drive so far to get their product. We can also add more dispensaries if there's a certain region of the state that did not, we did not get an application for. So that's where we're at. We hope to open up that process. We don't know how many will be serious in actually applying once they see what's going to be required of them, but there is a $5,000 non-refundable application fee that has to be submitted with the applications. Once those are selected, the two growers will pay $110,000 every 2 years to be the grower manufacturer, and the dispensaries will pay $90,000 every 2 years to be a selected dispensary.
The one thing that I had conversations with Richard Wardner, the Senate Majority Leader, and Cory Mock, you know, they're both leadership in the North Dakota legislature. They come from different sides of the aisle. And one of the things that I questioned them on, I guess, was the final price of this product, that sort of thing. You know, and you mentioned the tax that's going to be administered for the grower. You mentioned the tax that's going to be administered for the dispensary. And then when you tackle in there the sheer difference between medical and recreational, which during the process of this, I think a lot of people got caught up in the recreational side of things when they were starting to do some numbers on amounts of clients and that sorts of things. And, you know, you look at like an Arizona or a Montana, when they start out, I don't know, less than 5,000 people, that sort of thing, and maybe 2,000, 3,000. Have you guys, anybody done any sort of pro forma numbers on what the anticipation is for how many clients or how many patients, I guess, not clients, but how many patients or how much the, I guess, an ounce of flour or a gram of flour or whatever the medicine is going to be. Has anybody done any sort of numbers like that? These are speculative numbers, but there is some, you know, some other states that at least can give us a direction. Has anybody done that yet at this point that you know of?
Well, early on in this process, we needed to try to come up with what the fiscal impact would be to implement this law if it the Measure 5 did pass. And we did check around. There's a number of other states. It's well known there was probably at the time 24 or 5 other states with medical marijuana. There's been a few that actually implemented their programs when we did in November during their general elections as well. So we're at about 28 states now with medical marijuana. And we checked with a number of those states that have had programs. And it's all over the board. It really is hard to pinpoint. Because one state only had one patient apply for every 1,000 people in the general population, and one state had 15 patients for every 1,000. And that's quite a diverse spread there. So we just picked the number of about 4 to 5 patients per 1,000 in the general population in North Dakota, which puts North Dakota at a projected patient application of numbers of about 3,900 or 4,000 people registering to get their card. We have no idea. We know it's going to be much smaller to start with, but that will grow. And the second part of your question dealt with price. We did not, there's nothing in law that says we need to somehow control the price. But we are going to ask the applicants that submit to be a grower and manufacturer how they're going to be creative and do what they can to make the product affordable for the patients. This program will not work very well if the cost of medical marijuana is much too high for the patients to endure. So we're hopeful we get some things, some creative ways to make it affordable to the patients that will apply and get their card.
To listen to the full-length interview with Kenan Bullinger, Director for the North Dakota Cannabis Industry with the Health Department, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism is part of the Crude Life Media Network, and we're asking you to join our Facebook family. Facebook.com/The Crude Life. Facebook.com/The Crude Life. Of course, all that information plus Coffee and Capitalism features are available at TheCrudeLife.com. That's TheCrudeLife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard right here on the Crude Life Media Network. The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any Coffee and Capitalism questions for myself or any of our experts, feel free to email me at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. Like us on Facebook today. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the...
Yeah, we're singing it like they did.
Let me take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Now, with Hatch Coaching, you'll experience extreme transparency. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. By choosing Hatch Coaching, you're going to gain the knowledge and tools that will take your business to that next level. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Make sure you call and reserve Eric Hatch today, 701-318-4946. That's 701-318-4946. Or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch. It's time for your company to create wealth and abundance too. Reserve Eric Hatch today.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Hey folks, my name is Jason Spies here with the Crude Life Media Network, and we're in the midst of a social media campaign. If I could be so bold as to ask each and every one of you to like our Facebook page at facebook.com/thecrudelife. That's Facebook.com/thecrudelife. In addition to our exclusive interviews, news stories, you never know who's going to stop by, whether it might be a band, a musician, a politician, a CEO, or maybe a cafe owner. You never know who's going to stop by and do a Facebook Live interview at Facebook.com/thecrudelife. Like us today and tell your friends, your coworkers, even your pets. Especially your pets. We love the pets here at The Crude Life. My name is Jason Spies, and I am living the crude life. Come on and join me today. That's Facebook.com/thecrudelife. Facebook.com/thecrudelife. Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Dan South with Dome Technology.
Well, let's start with a little impromptu commercial. Tell me about your company. What is it you guys do, and where do you operate out of, etc.?
We operate out of Idaho Falls, Idaho. We focus on building concrete structures, primarily dome structures. It's a monolithic type construction. It's a little bit unique in that our domes are built on air inflated structures. So we'll have like a concrete ring foundation, similar to most foundations, and then we attach an air form to it. We inflate it with air and then go on the inside of it, and we insulate it with polyurethane foam, and then we apply engineered reinforcing rebar and like shotcrete to the underside of it. And so at the end of the day, you've got a firm, hardened, very durable storage facility.
That is quite an engineering feat, isn't it, in your industry, or is it pretty common now, I guess?
No, it's pretty unique. You know, we're a design-build firm, so we do all our own engineering design and actual execution. It's our engineers specialize in thin-shell concrete design, so it's very unique. We use a lot of finite element analysis in the designs, and they're great buildings.
Energy industry, do you supply the energy industry with these?
Yeah, you know, we've done a number of storage facilities in the energy industry in the past, mostly for coal storage. We've done a little bit in some refineries for pet coke storage. They make any type of product that's stored in bulk, coal, limestone, bulks, pet coke, as I mentioned. Any bulk type storage, we do really well at.
In North Dakota, we've got a refinery in Mandan. It's a Tesoro finery, and you see these circular, almost like space needle looking, you know, Star Wars looking dome type structures. Is that you guys? Is that a whole different? Am I in a different world
here? I think
here?
Those are different types of structures.
Okay, those must be metal then.
Yeah,
right?
So.
Okay, well, we'll cut that out. Where are you guys doing business in terms of clients? How many states are you primarily, just east-west, or where are you guys shipping to?
No, we work pretty globally. We've got a lot of our work currently here on the East Coast of the United States. We've got some West Coast stuff. We've done work in about 28 different countries. Right now we have a large coal storage facility in China happening. So we're pretty globally oriented, and we're able to mobilize to most places on the planet.
Globally speaking, how is the energy plays in other countries? Are they having a resurgence, much like is happening in America?
We're seeing a lot of activity at import-export facilities and others at the actual mine sites themselves regarding coal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's still a market that's a little bit new to us. We haven't penetrated it as deeply as we'd like to, but we've got, you know, a lot of, looks like a bright future.
I know North Dakota, I think something like 75-80% of homes are powered by coal. It's a popular thing. Are you guys finding that coal companies are increasing doing business with you? Are they holding back because of EPA regulations? Or how is the future's looking for you, I guess?
You know, I think the regulations probably, we can actually go come in and solve problems for customers a lot. A customer is trying to do something with a power plant. They might have some fugitive dust emissions that the EPA is cracking down on. Our dome storages work really, really well for them. You know, we built domes as large as 100 meters in diameter, as tall as 200 feet tall, where we can store over 100,000 tons of coal in one structure. And so it really solves problems. It keeps the coal out of the environment, keeps the fugitive dust emissions down. It provides a very compact footprint area in areas that are maybe difficult for, you know, power plants or import-export facilities to operate in. Where land is such a precious commodity, we can really consolidate their products.
How do you guys fare in the logistics or distribution world? Are you by rail? Are you by car? Fleet? By barge?
We do. That's a good question. We do a lot of work where, really all of them, we've done facilities where the product's coming in by rail, coming out by rail. We do a lot of facilities where it's maybe an export facility where the product comes in by truck and by rail and leaves by barge. So we have to tie into the overall mechanical system. And there's quite a bit of import as well. So really, whether it's truck, rail, barge, everybody has a need to store product, and that's what we specialize in, and we're really good at it.
To listen to the full-length interview with Dan South with Dome Technologies, or listen to other Copying Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Copying Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
Spending time on the prairie, you know.
Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any Coffee and Capitalism questions for myself or any of our experts, feel free to email me at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. Like us on Facebook today. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Quick, Jack, who don't jump over the candlestick? Why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
And that concludes this week's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. For a full list of today's guest and interview, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. We'll be back next week on this radio station at this time. For a full list of our radio affiliates and other media partners, please visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and from the staff here at Coffee and Capitalism Radio, we're asking you to be happy, make money, and give back. Thanks for joining us this week, folks.
Front porch saying, hot stuff for sale, why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Let me take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Now, with Hatch Coaching, you'll experience extreme transparency. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. By choosing Hatch Coaching, you're going to gain the knowledge and tools that will take your business to that next level. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Make sure you call and reserve Eric Hatch today, 701-318-4946. That's 701-318-4946. Or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch. It's time for your company to create wealth and abundance too. Reserve Eric Hatch today.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet. The Davis Refinery, a project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.